In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I've always thought, since I became an Episcopalian, that we actually had a treasure in literally being allowed to celebrate Christmas for 12 whole days. And you know, all the commercials, they start, you know, they do the 12 days of Christmas and they start on the 13th of December. They get it all backwards. It's almost as if the world has this idea that there's a thing as expectation and then there's an exclamation point, but nothing resonates. We strike the bell hard on Christmas Day and then let it resonate for 2 weeks. I think that's a better model, actually. During this time last week when we had a guest in the house, I can't remember, I came back from a service or came back, I can't remember where I came from, and Albert Finney's version of A Christmas Carol was on. How many people watched that movie at least once in some version this year? Okay, the rest of you need to work on it, right? Okay. But as I was reading the passage from the prophet this week, that the young women will rejoice in the dance and the young men and the old men will be joyful. What I thought about was those ending scenes where Albert Finney, as the sort of doddering old man, is trying to be joyful, and he gets so excited he almost falls over. And that's the kind of picture, things that we don't think we can have anymore for some reason. Whether it's those simple sort of physiological things, and I was watching that scene, thinking at how good of a dancer he must have been to do all those dances, looking like he was about to fall over and not doing it. But it's a picture of something being restored to a reclaimed sinner, a redeemed sinner, a reformed person that he never would have expected he could have had again. He thought he had lost it, you know, in his childhood when he was left at the school over Christmas and when Belle left him because he chose wealth over love, and all these things that might have been part of life, they're gone. And yet they were all restored in this story. And as I said, I think that that Finney's dancing and singing at the end of that movie is kind of a neat picture of that. But our collect today talks about very much the same thing. We generally confess some in some mechanism, and again, we can't pin that mechanism down, that God created human nature. And our collect says to God, who we know you created human nature, and it was wonderful, but you more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature. And restoring dignity. I know I've preached to you before that God knows you by name. When he redeems a sinner, he writes that name on his own hand, never to be forgotten. He knows you. He knows me. But too often, I think, because of our failures and our weaknesses, we say to ourselves, yes, God loves me, but what I am is no good. God loves me, but what I am is no good. Well, our collect says that you as a human being, we as the human race, all the dignity that we have lost, that we have thrown away, that we have dirtied and sullied by our actions and our failures, does not change what God intends to do for us. We've thrown our dignity in the trash, and he has restored it. Another image came to my mind as I was thinking about restoring dignity. And that was that during the Vietnam War, the prisoners of war that were kept in North Vietnam were stripped of dignity. And one of the very first things, before a photograph was ever allowed to be taken, was that our military made sure that every one of those prisoners had a uniform to wear when they walked out for the first time. They restored their dignity. They may have been hunched over. They may have been crippled. They may have been blind. They may have been broken. But we're going to give them the dignity of what they, in fact, are. A soldier, an airman, a marine, sailor. When God restores the dignity of human nature, beyond just knowing you and loving you for who you are, or maybe underneath knowing you and loving you for who you are, the fact that you are human, made in the image of God, is a dignity that we have thrown away that He restored. It might have been an embarrassment to be human. How many of us are embarrassed by the dumb things we do? When we say, I'm only human, right? We say that? Oh, no, 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 no. We should stand in front of God, like, you know, when Superman opens up rips the shirt open and has the big S on his chest. We should stand in front of God and say, look, I'm human. He wonderfully created your human nature. And when you and we have done our best to destroy it, He said, no, 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 you don't get to do that with what I made. And He comes and He's incarnate. It's Christmas. It's nativity. It's incarnation. It's God become human. And if human nature was no good, if human nature was essentially bad, God could not become human, because the ultimate good and holy cannot join itself to the unholy. It joins itself to that which is essentially holy and good, which we have tried to dirty up. And so we hear this wonderful story, one of those few that we have, of the young life of Jesus. He goes at what now the Jewish community would call its bar mitzvah, at 12 years old. And at least according to long-standing tradition, at your bar mitzvah was the first time that a young man was allowed to read the Torah to the group. Now normally, though, you read it, then you sat down and listened. And according to and it wasn't very far after Jesus that we have the writings that tell us what the rules were. So they're probably also what happened. You weren't allowed to comment on them publicly till you were 30. So you were allowed to read them, but you weren't allowed to enter into the public debate until you were 30 years old. And yet here we have Jesus at 12 sitting among not just the rabbis in Nazareth, the rabbis in Jerusalem, the cream of the crop, at the Feast of Passover. You know, everybody who was anybody was there. And He's sitting with that bunch, and He's amazing them. He's astonishing them by His conversation, the questions He asks and the answers He gives. And you almost get a picture that this child is starting to come into an understanding, I must be in my Father's house, that He's supposed to do something extraordinary in the world, that He has a unique place among those who are discussing the Word of God. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, Mom. But He doesn't continue. He goes back to Nazareth with them. And He is obedient to them. And it says, and then He grows in His wisdom and His stature and with favor with God and with His community. It's another act of God becoming man. The divine could have broken through in a way that defied humanity. A 12-year-old walking in and say, well, I'm the Son of God, so sit down. But He didn't. He lived as one of us. He went back to Nazareth and was obedient and grew and went through the process of being fully human. And then we know, as we will celebrate in the coming weeks, then he is revealed at his baptism as the Son of God, and then he goes on his mission of preaching. But here he again, like he did in the manger, like he did in the body of Mary, submits himself to the human condition and the human process, and he becomes a child of Mary and Joseph in Nazareth, and restores the dignity of human nature, telling us that what we live through, what we learn, how we learn, how we grow, and the challenges we face have great value. So much value that the eternal God himself was willing to take himself and dress himself in the dignity of human nature. He didn't just come shining from the heavens. He came and adorned himself with us. Now, if you read on in the collect, the reverse becomes true. He restored the dignity of human nature. Grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity. So the Son of God who adorned himself with humanity, the promise is and the hope is that we who are human will get to adorn ourselves with divinity. There's a reciprocity to this, except it's all grace. We didn't give anything to this process. But when God made flesh, joined earth to heaven and heaven to earth, when he clothed himself with us, he gave us the destiny that our humanity will be clothed with his divinity. This is the dignity that's restored. Now we know after he restores the dignity of human nature by saying, yes, I'm one of you and your nature is of great value and it's beautiful and it's worthy and I'm going to be part of it, sin still hasn't been dealt with. And we know he still has to go to the cross. And that's salvation. But this is a necessary step on the way to salvation. God restoring our dignity by clothing himself in our nature. The collect, this collect for the second Sunday after Christmas, it's just this wonderful encapsulation of the love of God and the gospel. Yes, God, you wonderfully created me. You wonderfully created us, and we screwed it up, and you restored that dignity in a wonderful way that we could have never done ourselves. And just like you clothed yourself in us, we believe that you will clothe us in yourself. Amen.